It's also my very great pleasure this morning to introduce and actually reintroduce Maida Anderson, who is our guest speaker today. She's been with us before. It's been several years. I don't know exactly how many, five-ish? Close to six and a half, something like that. So Maida was born in Alberta. And can I hear an amen, a cheer for that? Okay. A couple of you out there. And then, but then she grew up in Oliver, B.C. Can I hear a yahoo for the Okanagan? And where she currently lives. And she was influenced early on in her life by believing family members and accepted Christ as a young adult. And then a year after that, God directed her to come even much closer to him and led her to Saskatchewan. And so there you are. And so she went there to Regina, the Queen City of the Plains, also called the Plain City of the Queen at times. And she attended Canadian Bible College, and there God directed her to become an international worker at a missionary meeting. And after she prepared for that, her assignment was to the country of Spain, where she served as the field secretary and bookkeeper, as well as being directly involved in various church ministries. She was also the regional financial assistant for that Silk Road, it's a different religion, Silk Road region for many years. And then for the past 5 years, she was on the pastoral team of her local Spanish church. And so as she approached retirement, she turned over her ministries to other people in Spain who had been involved and then were coming back from home assignment ministries in Canada. So this just in, she retired March 31st, 2022. So, and not only that, but today is her birthday. And so we're here to celebrate your retirement and this transition, and also you, mostly you, your birthday. Happy birthday. And we've prepared, Maddie has composed a little song that we're going to sing together for you today.
Yes, this is an original song. Would you sing it with me? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maida. Happy birthday to you.
We also want to acknowledge your sister Tammy, who is traveling with you today. And it was your sister Anne that tipped us off about the birthday. Just so you know who to blame, we are all just innocent and complicit at the same time. Well, we're delighted to have you here. I'd like to welcome you up to bring the message to us today. We'll take our time.
I'm taking it slow. I don't want to fall.
Okay.
Hope I'm not messing up hers.
That's okay.
I was here in 2016, so, but in the fall, so I think that's like 5.5 years. Thank you. I had no idea that was coming. We're going to start with actually a slide presentation on Spain. I will kind of guide you through a little history and a little information on Spain, and then we'll go on from there. Spain is the land of Cervantes and Don Quixote. It is also the land that gave the world bullfighting, flamenco dancing, and three Roman emperors. Spain is a breathtakingly beautiful country. The natural panorama, combined with an architectural heritage, constantly delights the eye and excites the imagination. The walled city of Segovia is a case in point. This ancient town, with its numerous churches and monasteries, is strategically located on a hilltop, and in its day was protected by high walls and an imposing castle fortress. The Spanish landscape never ceases to surprise you. It is a land marked at once by lush green valleys in the north and barren hills in the arid south. From modern skyscrapers in the city of Madrid to medieval villages, little changed through the centuries. From fast-paced cities and urban centers to forgotten byways lost in the countryside, Spain is a land of contrast. Numerous mountain ranges punctuate the map of Spain, dividing the country both physically and socially. The rugged terrain has isolated different areas over the centuries, thus contributing to a marked regionalism and a wide variety of customs and traditions. Four distinct indigenous languages are spoken in Spain. Located on the Iberian Peninsula, Spain is bordered on the west by Portugal and on the northeast by France. It is roughly 60% the size of British Columbia. It boasts miles of shoreline from the Mediterranean Sea to the Atlantic Ocean and the Bay of Biscay. Although Spain is part of the continent of Europe, from its southernmost tip near the Rock of Gibraltar, you can see the north coast of Africa, only 20 kilometers in the distance. Indeed, Spanish life and culture have been molded by Africa as well as Europe. In the year 711, Arab invaders from North Africa conquered southern Spain and began an occupation that was to last nearly 700 years. From architecture and the arts to the Arabic language and lifestyle, the influence of the Arabs or Moors was to be lasting and profound. From the early 700s to the late 1400s, the Christians and Arabs fought for control of the Iberian Peninsula. So it's no surprise that Spain has a history rich in the tales of knights and castles, of kings and conquerors. In southern Spain, where the Moorish influence was felt the longest, the Alhambra Palace stands as an eloquent testimony to the genius of Arab craftsmanship. From the delicate latticework of the carved wood ceilings to the incredible detail of their mosaic tiles, the artistry of the Arabs was truly unique. The huge mosque in Cordoba is yet another example of the stunning beauty of Moorish architecture and design. Further north, there are other reminders of those turbulent years. In the highland plateau of central Spain, literally scores of castles dot the rolling countryside, silent sentinels from a bygone era. These giant testimonies of past conflict call to mind the search for safety and the need for refuge during the seven centuries of fighting that swept back and forth across Spanish soil. But the story of Spain is a tale several thousand years in the making. Long before the Arabs ever invaded, the Romans had ruled Spain for 600 years. At Segovia, a huge aqueduct was built early in the first century AD, not only to provide fresh water for the city, but also to impress the local inhabitants with the power and glory of Spain, of Rome, sorry. But Spain is best remembered for the glory years of the 1500s. Monuments abound to Christopher Columbus, whose first voyage in the year 1492 marked the birth of a new world. It also helped push the young nation of Spain to the pinnacle of power. In a few short decades, Spain emerged from behind the Pyrenees Mountains to dominate the European stage for more than a century. With remarkably few men, the Spanish soldiers conquered and colonized most of the Americas, bringing their distinctive language and culture to untold generations. Spanish genius reached its height during the breathtaking Golden Century, the 1500s, with Velázquez, Cervantes, and other cultural giants. And yet, only 150 years after Columbus, the door had slammed shut on Spain's advance. Political and economic greatness were long gone, and the sun was setting for the once mighty Spanish Empire. Although Spain never regained her former glory, her heritage and history are still very much evident today in magnificent buildings, such as the Alhambra in southern Spain and the royal palaces in and around Madrid. Spain is likewise proud of her timeless masterpieces of art, most notably famous works of El Greco, Velázquez, Goya, and Picasso. Modern Spain is a very urban society with more than two-thirds of the people living in cities. The great majority of the population are apartment dwellers. Very few live in individual houses. The capital of Madrid is located in the geographical center of Spain. Both as a magnet for business and as a world-renowned attraction for tourists, Madrid is a very beautiful city. It has a number of world-class museums and is a mixture of the old and the modern, the historical and the contemporary. But in spite of all the outward beauty and her best efforts to enjoy life, Spain has a dark side that is all too obvious. Materialism, secularism, and the focus on pleasure have eroded traditional family values and religious values. Divorce is on the rise, and serious family problems are all too common. Drug and alcohol abuse, especially among young people, have reached frightening proportions. Pornographic material is sold on the streets and broadcast via public television. This anything-goes attitude is shredding moral fabric of Spanish society and producing grave concern among religious leaders. For centuries, the predominant religion in Spain has been Roman Catholicism. Prior to 1492, both Jews and Muslims were also numerous. But in that same year that Columbus discovered the New World, the Arabs were finally defeated and expelled from Spain. Catholic churches, impressive in their outward beauty, are an obvious part of Spanish landscape. From humble buildings in small towns to huge cathedrals in the largest cities, literally thousands of churches are found throughout the country. But sadly, the majority of Spaniards tend to relegate Christianity to the past, viewing it simply as a part of their culture and history. Christianity is valued socially, but not embraced personally. The Christian faith is largely seen as irrelevant for the modern Spaniard. Professional surveys reveal that 20 to 25% of the population openly identify themselves as atheists or agnostic, professing no religion at all. While Protestant Christianity has also a long history in Spain, it is largely one of persecution and surviving against all odds. As a result, it remains a small minority to this day. Baptized evangelical believers number some 500,000 persons, only a tiny fraction, about 1%, of the 47 million inhabitants in the country. Evangelical churches are few in number and small in size, with an average of between 10 to 30 baptized members. Although the evangelical community has been gradually increasing in number, much growth is among responsive immigrant groups. A huge challenge and perplexing question still remains: how can we reach the least responsive Spanish people? The overwhelming majority are spiritually indifferent to the gospel. They refuse what they lack. They ignore what they need. Incredibly, there are some 7,000 villages and towns in Spain without one single evangelical church. Spain is clearly one of the least evangelized countries in the developed world. Like the rest of post-Christian Western Europe, it is very much a land in need of an encounter with the risen Christ. With her rich heritage and impressive architecture, Spain offers much to the traveler. But in her spiritual poverty, Spain has yet to accept a greater offer, the offer of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Spain's a beautiful country, and I loved living there. But it is also quite spiritually dark. A little bit about Spanish culture. If you remember, there was one slide of people outside a building, and there was a sign that said, Iglesia Evangelica, or Iglesia Alianza Evangelica, which is Alliance Evangelical Church. But most churches meet in homes or in rented facilities. They don't have their own buildings. And the church I was involved in the city of Tres Cantos, which is just north of Madrid, when we finally got our own building, well, actually, it isn't our own building. We decided not to get our own building. We sublet from a group called Global Ventures. Global Ventures was known in Tres Cantos as a group, officially an association, associated with English. They started off with English camps for children in the summer and offered other English programs. So to help them, we rented part of their facilities, the use of their facilities. And we chose not to put our name outside the door. Global Ventures was there. But La Comunidad Cristiana de Tres Cantos was not shown. Why? Why did we choose to do that? Because most Spaniards will not go knowingly into an evangelical church. They are Roman Catholic. Well, I said that 20 to 25% aren't anymore. But they still think, well, I'm Spanish, so I'm Catholic. And they have suspicions of evangelicals, and they will not go into an evangelical church. That would not have been very good for Global Ventures if we had put our name there, because then people wouldn't come to the events that they sponsored for English. Plus, even for us as a church, and they didn't hide that... A church met there. We didn't hide that fact. But people were more willing to come into the building if it wasn't identified as principally as an evangelical church. And we had a lot of activities there. Some of them with Global Ventures, some of them with our church. And people were more willing to come in, even non-believers. Christmas programs, children's ministries. We had our own Bible, Big Kishon Bible School. So glad to see that you have it here. I think ours in there, the church there will have it the week before the week that is here. And we do it in English because that is what people feel that they really need is to learn English. So a lot of English ministries, both through Global Ventures and through our church. But people are willing to come to those because it's not a church. A sad fact. The other thing, of course, is that churches there are much smaller. There are a few churches this large, perhaps even some larger in Spain, but they are very few and far between. So Spain is still a land that has a great need for international workers. Now, as Grant mentioned, I officially retired on March 31st, but as somebody told me, once an IW, always an IW. So I'm quite willing to go and talk about Spain. Love to talk about Spain. And I just want to tell you a little bit about what's happening with the Alliance in Spain. When I first arrived there, I'd been there 4 months, and a study commission came through. And one of the possibilities they were considering was closing the field. Well, I've been there 4 months. I was just learning Spanish. Very scary thing. Fortunately, the study showed, oh no, Spain really does need to have international workers. But some of the people who were there were kind of like square pegs in round holes. And so they did a little shifting around, moving some people to other fields into ministries that they felt they were better prepared for. And we ended up with 11 people on the field. And then one couple had to leave for health reasons, and there were 9 of us for almost 2 years. This was in the mid-90s, 1990s. And in the year 2000, the Lord started bringing people. We went from 11 to 21, 5 new couples, almost doubled. And the Lord has been bringing people since. Some come and some go. When I retired, there are now 61 international workers in Spain. Now, they're not all from the Alliance, and they're certainly not all Canadians. But it's amazing the way the Lord has been bringing people. And not only Alliance people, but people from other organizations that are working with us. 61. And we have one couple waiting for their visa. So that'll be 63 when they finally get there, probably in the summer. And it's also a very international team. We have Canadians. It is what's called an American-led field, so that the major sponsor, major leader, I guess you could say, is the Alliance from the United States. But we also have Alliance people from the Netherlands, from Peru, from Ecuador, from Puerto Rico. Now, they have American passports, but culturally, they're not Americans. So they fit in. But we also have people from other countries with other organizations that are working with us. We have a young lady from Scotland. We also have other people from Colombia, from Argentina, from Lebanon. So it's a very international team. And that could be a great difficulty. One of the reasons, the major reason for people leaving the field, in any field, are personality conflicts. And we've had a few minor problems, but the Lord has helped our field director to work through those. And really, it's a united field, even with all those people from all those countries. And I really praise the Lord for that, because it could be so easy to just have huge problems blow up. But we haven't had that, and so that's an item of praise. We also have a number of ministries in Spain. I was mostly involved with field administration and some with church ministries. As Grant mentioned, the last 5 years I was on the field, I was on the field leadership team, the pastoral team, we called it, but it's more kind of a blend of an elders board would be the best thing to say. And that is another real problem, even in churches in Spain, is lay leadership. I am glad to see so many ministries here and so many people involved here. But in Spain, everybody wants to have their say, but not too many people want to be leaders, because if you're a leader, you're going to be criticized. And people don't want that. And even in churches, it takes time, a long time, for people to become spiritually mature enough for leadership. It's slowly happening in the church that I attended. I'm not sure how all the other churches are doing. But that is a need. And because of that need, too, it was, if we grow, we're going to need pastors. And how are we going to get pastors? People just can't afford to go to a Bible college for 3 or 4 years. And so the Alliance started their own Bible Institute. But it's not traditional. It's not, people don't go to school every day for 4 years. It's a modular system. And once a month, they spend 4 hours in the evening for a whole week studying something. And then, of course, sometimes there's reading they have to do beforehand and obviously homework afterwards, papers or projects or whatever is appropriate for the course. And it takes 4 or 5 years for people to go through all that and to graduate. And we've had probably about 10 to 12 people who have graduated from that. And some of them are in pastoral ministry. Others have just remained in lay ministry. And that going on. Up until this point, we've always had an international worker as the director of that program. And the latest one is retiring in June. He leaves in June. And so for this past year, he has been going alongside a young Spanish man who will become the new director. I think May 1st is when he will officially take over. So theological education is very important there, and we have other people involved in it as well, both in the institute and in other ways. We have some people involved in direct church ministries and church planting. We have people involved in spiritual direction. Because once these young men and women go into church ministry, how do they stay focused on the Lord? Sometimes you can become so busy, doing things that you're not being anymore. And so we have some people who are involved in spiritual direction, especially with the new young pastors, but also with people in the church to help them grow and mature. We have a woman who has been involved in ministry with trafficked people. Some of them trafficked into sexual trades, but also into farm, agricultural work, people that are exploited. But she's another one who's retiring, and we don't have anyone to take over. Her ministry will not die. She's been partnering with another group, and they're going to carry on. But she's very sad about leaving Spain. But it's time for her as well. So pray for her. Her name is Betsy. That's the only one I'm going to mention by name. She's been in Spain for a number of years, and this ministry was really close to her heart. And she's finding it difficult to leave. She's going to be leaving in June as well. So while we think of Spain, please do remember, if you remember it, to pray for the Alliance Ministries there. Right now, we have 28 churches, which, when I mentioned when there were 9 of us there, we had 3 churches. So it's grown. But as I mentioned, it's mostly immigrant growth. How do we reach out to the Spaniards? They are very resistant. Part of it is they think they know the truth, and they don't want to search any further. And yet so many of them are hurting. Even now, as here, things are opening up again after COVID. But it's really hard because they don't want to admit that they need anything. Maybe now, when Spain has gone down a little bit economically, but even so, it's a really hard place because they just don't see the need for anything more than what they've got. So pray too for hunger, for open eyes and hearts. As people there reach out, both the international workers and people in the churches, pray for direction, for the Holy Spirit to guide them. That was always my prayer. We did a lot of English ministries before COVID, and always our prayer was, Lord, guide us. Show us who is needing what. What do they need? How can we reach out so that we touch them, so that your Holy Spirit can work in them? It is such a great need because, well, it takes a long time before they're open enough to talk to you about something that's spiritual. Spirituality is considered a very personal, very private thing. And you have to take time to get to know the person for sometimes years before they'll be willing to talk to you about spirituality and about need. So we talk about, I noticed there's going to be something here about the Billy Graham Association. And that's great. But don't go to Spain and say, well, let's just have something with Billy Graham Association. Nobody's going to come except a few believers. Now, I know the thing here, I think I understand it's for people who are believers to reach out to unbelievers. And that would be a good thing there too. But you can't do that cold call there. Here you can have evangelistic campaigns sometimes and people will come. Their friends will drag them. Their relatives will convince them. Not there. We had, I don't know if you know, Luis Palau. He's a great South American evangelist. Was in Madrid. But you know, the stuff they did was great. I went to one of the campaign meetings. But as I talked to people who were there, I didn't talk to one non-believer. Everybody who was there, almost everybody who was there, were already believers. And for them, it's great. It's very encouraging. But it's not reaching out to others. So for us in Spain, it is personal evangelism. One-on-one. And you have to be willing not only to invest yourself, but your time and your efforts and your energies and be patient. Be patient. But I'm happy to say there is a start, just a start of opening up there. We've seen more Spaniards. But even so, our church has, in Tres Cantos, has probably about 60 people who would associate with it. Four Spaniards. So not even 1%. Or is that 10%? Well, anyway, very small percentage. Four Spaniards out of 60. The rest are all people from other countries who are living there. Not many international workers. At one point, there were five of us. Now it's down to two. The others come from mostly Latin American countries, but also from the Netherlands, from Switzerland, from Germany. And that, for us as a mission there, was always a great cry of our hearts. Lord, we want to reach out to these people as well. They need the Lord. And those that came as already believers need to grow. But how do we reach Spaniards? What can we do? How can you work through us? So the Lord has directed us in a number of different ways. Some of them have worked and some of them haven't. But it is a great need. So also pray for wisdom for the international workers and the national pastors now. How do we reach out? Not only to the immigrants who have a great need, but to the Spaniards, those who call that home, who have grown up there. How do we reach them? As I mentioned, Christianity is valued socially. They will go to baptisms. They will go to weddings. They will go to funerals at a church. They might even go for Christmas and Easter, more likely Easter than Christmas. But it doesn't mean anything personally. Christianity is seen as irrelevant. How do we make it relevant? Pray for wisdom so that the workers there can reach out in a way that is relevant. So thank you for all of you who have prayed for Spain or for other places. I know there are a lot of places in the world where there are needs. Thank you for those who have given to the Global Advance Fund, which is the fund that, just basically pays for everything. Compensation for missionaries, but also ministry needs. Thank you, because without the prayers and the financial support of people here in Canada and in other parts of the world, nothing would be happening. So especially covet your prayers for Spain or for whatever place that you have on your heart where people are reaching out to the lost. Thank you. Some water here.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Would you stand and we can worship God together?